It has been great to be with you this week, and thank you. I just sense an openness to what God wants to do. Thank you for leaning in to reaching out into your neighborhoods, to the nations of the world. Ann and Esther, always glad to be with you. We don't get to see each other that much. In fact, Andrew and I, before the service, I said, when are we going to see each other next? Like, maybe next year, I guess. I don't know. They're taking off right after the service tonight. Thank you, Mary. Hey, some of you have tried to convert me to being a Steelers fan these couple of days. And back in 2005, I was invited to come to speak at the Steelers Chapel in Cleveland. So it's like going to the dark side, you know, but I knew the chaplain. I said, and I'll meet. So I go to the Steelers Chapel. And that day, the Steelers absolutely obliterated the Browns 41-0. December 24th, 2005. I think that was the time. And so it's probably not a surprise that being superstitious, like a lot of athletes or, you know, teams, that they invited me to come back. Like, wow, this worked last time. So let's. I spoke from John 13 that night or that day about having the servant heart of Jesus. I was trying to just gently say, take it easy on my Browns, you know, and it didn't really work. But when you're done, they all give you a hug on the way out of the chapel. Every single player who's there and the coaches. And so they give you this big bear hug. And so I did see them more as like, these are brothers in Christ, a lot of these guys. So I do have a soft spot in my heart for the Steelers. And I congratulate you on all the rings that you almost don't have enough fingers for to fit on your, yeah. Mary and I have really enjoyed being here with you, though, and we're so grateful again for what God is doing in this region. I want to ask a question tonight. If you were to describe our cultural moment, like what is one of the, what's a word that describes sort of the angst or the spirit of our zeitgeist, our generation, what word would you use? Just have one in your head. When you think of what's going on in the world today and you say, here's the yearning in people's hearts, there's something going on. Jonathan Haidt, not even a believer, but wrote a book that's become a bestseller called The Something Generation. Anybody know what the word in the middle is? The Anxious Generation. The Anxious Generation. Would you agree that for many people today, it's anxiety that sort of is almost epidemic, and it's not just those who don't know Christ. It'd be for many of us who do know Him, but we say this is an area where we wrestle today. I want us to see tonight this amazing invitation that we receive in the Word of God that is this wonderful exchange. But let me just first talk about what anxiety means. Char Myers, a believer, she's with the Alliance, does member care for the Alliance. She talks about how the Greek word for anxious is merimnao. And it goes beyond simple word. The word is rooted in the word meritzo, which means to divide. And so it describes a mind that's pulled in different directions, a divided mind, fragmented, distracted, unsettled by competing fears. So anxiety is not merely like emotional discomforts. It's a divided mind that in some sense has lost its center. And when that happens, we struggle to think clearly. It's hard for us to assess situations wisely. It's hard to remain steady under pressure. And what we want for our souls that will be rooted and secure and a focused inner life, it's something that anxiety just begins to erode because we have this divided mind. Solomon makes an observation in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, when he says this, "An anxious heart weighs a person down." You resonate with that? An anxious heart weighs a person down. That was written 3,000 years ago, which say is still true today. You just imagine you're carrying. If we could visualize the burdens that are being carried in this room, what do you think we would see? There would be, I think if we could, I wonder for yourself, if you just go, what causes me to deal with anxiety or anxious thoughts, what would you say it is? You just quietly name that in your mind. You say, "If when I feel anxious, it's this." What would it be? Might be kids, whether little or adult kids. That would be something that I wrestle with at times. Might be your finances. It could be some kind of a health diagnosis, something, a chronic illness that you deal with. There are smaller anxieties. Sometimes it's just we feel like we're behind on everything and the to-do list grows so that your schedule seems out of control. Maybe you're anxious about someone that you long to see put their trust in Jesus. And you think, God, I don't see it happening. Anxiety. There's something else that happens when anxiety sort of wins the day in my heart, that it robs me of joy, right? It's hard for joy and anxiety to coexist, because anxiety gives me this divided mind, and I begin to just... So I want us to look tonight at an amazing invitation. It's not a new one for you, but I'd like to just take a fresh look at what the Apostle Paul says, and if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to talk about two steps that we're invited to take. I'm not going to have slides tonight. Here are your two big words, release and redirect. Would you say those with me? Release and redirect. Release and redirect. Philippians chapter 4, and the first one here, to release. Here's what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4. He says, beginning in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Here's Paul. This is Paul. He's writing from a prison cell. He says, I want you to choose to rejoice. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. I wish we had time to talk more about that. That was a big one for him, gentleness. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm going to look at the next few verses, but just want to pause right there. He starts off by inviting us to just simply release all of our requests to the Lord. This isn't like a passive resignation. Instead, it's this intentional transfer of burdens that we were never meant to carry alone. I love how Peter says, remember what Peter says in chapter 5 of his first letter? Peter says, cast all your cares. It's actually the same word, I believe, that casting out a demon. He's saying, like, thrust your burdens on the Lord. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. He's saying you can release all of this. And how much do we release? He defines the parameters here. He says this is for anything and everything. Did you catch what he says in that verse here in Philippians 4? He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, present your request to God, no exceptions. Doesn't matter how big, how little. I think sometimes the enemy wants us to go, you can't bring that. Come on. He's the ruler of the universe. You can't bring that to him. That's so small. In the New Living Translation, Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, we read this. It says, the steps of the godly person are directed by the Lord. He delights, listen to this, he delights, the Lord delights in every detail of their lives. That's great, isn't it? That God, think of that, he delights, if you're seeking to walk with the Lord, he delights in every detail of your life. He knows everything. He rejoices over you. He delights in you. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small. I can release every request to him. I can say, Lord, you're a good shepherd. I entrust my children to you. God, you know about the situation in my life. Lord, I commit those details to you. Lord, this person I'm praying for to come to know you, will you put other Christians in their path who have a contagious testimony, who will confirm the truth they've heard, as Esther said, that they'll recognize that there's no other name under heaven. God, would you do that for them? Maybe you pray for our nation. Lord, our nation feels so broken right now, so divided. God, would you show your mercy? And one at a time, I take my cares and my anxieties and in prayer, I release them to him. And I present them, and there's this incredible exchange that takes place. As I release, it's almost like I bundle everything up and I say, God, I give this to you. And listen to what he does in advance, verse 7 again. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is the Prince of Peace. The God of peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, we can have this sort of default mode that when something happens, you get bad news from some, and you just immediately, you can just go, oh my goodness, and you start churning. But there's something Mary mentioned the other day, neuroplasticity, that that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Like we can have new ways. We can say, God, when something comes my way, I want to accept your invitation to release every anxious thought back to you. You're a God of perfect wisdom. You know just the right solution to the questions that I ask, the uncertainty that I have. You have limitless power, and you can still speak peace, be still. Power enough to take even the evil that's done by others, and you can turn it into good. And your love, wow, more than I could ever imagine. So Paul says, release every anxious thought that you have to God. There's something in the beginning of this chapter here that I think it's good for us to note, and it's, you might say it this way, that as we release, we also deal with any issues that are my responsibility. Look at what Paul says in the opening verses here. Chapter 4, verse 2, he says, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. There's a couple women who just weren't getting along. I'm sure that never happens in your church, but it happened back in the first century. And but he doesn't command them. I mean, he doesn't scold them. He's gracious, right? He says, I plead with you. Like, this would mean so much to join together for the cause of the gospel. He wants them to work out their issues. Prayer, we could say this. There are times that we not only pray, we obey. That prayer is to be accompanied by obedient action. You might remember I was reading in my time with Jesus recently. I've been going through this Bible reading guide, and I was in the book of Joshua a few weeks ago. And Joshua, the people have gone out, and you remember they're defeated by the people of Ai, and Joshua, he falls on his face, and he's praying before the Lord, and what does the Lord tell him? He says, get up. What are you doing on your face? There's sin that needs to be repented of among you. And then that's when Achan and all of that situation happens. Friends, there are times that our anxiety, and I'm not saying all the time, but there are times that we do it. If these two women had said, Paul, we're just feeling anxious. There's all this, like, he'd say, you got to work it out. Make a phone call. Take the initiative. Realize that you have so much in common with other believers and be willing to put these things aside. It might be finances that are causing anxiety, and you go, the credit card's maxed out, what do I do? You can pray about that, but you also take wise steps of action, right? That you say, I need to sell something, I need to return an item, I need to stop a subscription, I need to put the credit card on a cookie sheet and put it in the oven on 350 and make it happen. Maybe you take a financial course at your church or online. Several years ago, when our son was a senior in high school, I gave him an incentive. I said, I kept on telling him, you should be taking Financial Peace University or anything. But that time I had the curriculum for Financial Peace. And he was like, Dad, I'm not going to do that. I said, I'll pay you $10 for every session you watch. He was finally like, all right, I'll do it. Halfway through, he goes, Dad, where do people learn this stuff? Like, everybody should be taking this course. If you're anxious about your finances, take action. Paul would say, don't only pray, but obey. And so we release the burdens, whatever it is, that in exchange for the Lord's peace, and we take personal action to cooperate with him. So number one, you release. He says, just present. We're going to take a moment to do it at the end here and just go, God, as I want to live a life that is filled with your peace, Lord, I thank you for inviting me to present to you the burdens of my heart. Thank you that you never ridicule me, you don't shame me, you welcome me to do that. Secondly, redirect. Look what he says in verse 8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There he promises it again. First, he says, if you release, God's going to take your anxiety. In exchange, he's going to have peace that guards your heart. And here he says, the God of peace will be with you. What is he saying? He's saying, redirect your focus. Fill your mind with good things. Any lasting change in my life, there's something that has to happen in my thought life, right? I take every thought captive through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, I can say, God, what I'm allowing into my ears and into my eyes, that, Lord, that I want to increase the flow of whatever is good and noble and pure and admirable and excellent. And so you increase the flow of what God would say, this is good, take this in. Beginning with his word, it could be worship music, right? Mary and I, during COVID, we would tell Alexa, you know, play whatever. And we had a number of songs, and we would just sing the top of our lungs around our house because our kids were no longer at home. And just saying, God, we want, sometimes, you know, when you worship as an overflow of your belief. Other times you worship into belief, right? You're saying, God, I want this. I'm rousing myself to put my trust in you. Soak up his word. Can't emphasize enough how grateful I am. Even today for the Bible app, that there are times I'm like, I don't have my paper Bible with me, but I can be in a line and just start going, God, I want to take in your word. I want to read a psalm. And listen to the Bible while you're driving or washing dishes or brushing your teeth or whatever it might be, to let God's word fill your quiet moments instead of just giving that space to your social media feed or an abrasive voice on talk radio. He says, whatever is lovely or pure or true or right, think about these things. And then he says, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, I love in John chapter 16 how Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you might have what? Peace. And then he goes on and says, in the world you will have trouble or tribulation. But take heart, he says, because I have overcome the world. He doesn't say, I'll take away the trouble, right? He doesn't say that. On the contrary, he says, no, in the world you will have trouble. Don't be surprised by that, by loss of employment or by illness or even death. But what he says is, in this world you will have trouble. But he says, but in me, in the midst of all that, you can have peace. When the Spirit of God comes to live within us, there's just this wonderful, the fruit, right? The evidence of his life within me, we said, is that there's love. The second one we said is what? Joy. There's just this flow of joy. And third is what? Is peace, that we can have this peace that comes in, and we just say, God, thank you for being the Prince of Peace who comes and rules in my life. Paul's counsel is not merely theoretical. He's it's forged under pressure. He's saying from Nero's prison. He's not even sure he's going to make it out of prison alive. And he says, you can release all of your burdens, anything. Bring it to him, and he'll give you his peace. And the Lord of peace will be with you. He opens this section by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. He's saying, make the choice to see God in the picture. Joy comes because of faith, right? Author and pastor Craig Rochelle talks about pre-framing situations in your life. In other words, you select the frame before the event occurs. You see God in the frame. You believe he's always going to be present. There's never a situation in my life. There's never a room I go into. There's never a conversation I'm having where he's not there. He's never AWOL. God is always present. And so when something happens, I can say, God, I believe you're here. You're present. He says here in verse 5, he's simply this four-word sentence. He says, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. I keep in my Bible this card that says, Lord Jesus, you are with me right now. You're with me right now. On the backside, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's near, Paul says. He's with you, he's above you, he surrounds you. And we can say that he is in us as well. And because of that, we can say, God, I can experience the peace that only you can truly give. I want to close with there was an art contest that took place a number of years ago where artists from around the world were asked to represent in their artwork a rendering of the word peace. And so when the judging of all the pieces was completed, third place went to a cabin that was tucked away in this, you know, in snow on a mountain. It was a beautiful picture. That was third place. Second place was given to a picture of a quiet brook in a forest with deer drinking from a stream and an eagle perched in the tree. The kind of things you'd say, oh, that feels like, was it Thomas Kincaid or something? And it's very peace. But first prize, here's what first prize went to. First prize went to an artist who depicted a raging river with these thundering rapids, dark clouds filling the sky, lightning and violent winds. And in the midst of this turbulent, stormy scene was this tree with branches that were hanging over a river. Almost picture it out here. I looked at some of the pictures of the flood that happened, I think in 1996 here, but just raging river, right? And on one of those branches, there's this mother bird who's laying in her nest, quietly covering her newly hatched babies, totally at peace in the midst of a storm. I want to ask, can you pre-frame a happening in your life with that picture to say, God, in the midst of a raging storm, whatever happens in my life, whatever crisis may come, that God, I'm going to trust to know that I am like those little birds in the nest with a raging river and a dark sky, but to know that as a mother hen covers her chicks, that God, so your feathers cover me. Under the Father's protection, in love and power and ability to speak a word, I can say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And so we release whatever burden we have. We redirect our thoughts to the wonder of who he is and to the goodness of our great God, and say, Lord, would you so allow your presence to fill me that in the midst of an anxious world, that I will be a person who's known for peace, and that in so doing, 1 Peter chapter 3, always be ready to give an answer for the what? The hope that you have in Christ. Friends, people are longing today for the peace and the joy and the freedom that only he can give. May we be those kind of people. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. And as the worship team comes here to also, we're going to just invite you to, in a few moments, to come as they sing and to say, God, this anxious thought, this burden in my life, Lord, I want to present to you an exchange for this peace that can guard. The word is like a fortress, that he'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Lord Jesus, we pray in your powerful name that you would come, Lord, into every sphere of our lives, and that we'll encounter you as the one who, even today, you, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, that you can speak even today, peace be still. And Lord, the storms in our heart can be calm. Lord, I thank you that you offer that to all of us today who come to you because you care for us. And so, Lord, I pray that as we drop off our burdens with you tonight, that your peace would just flow in this room, and that we would be a people who model, who experience what your Holy Spirit can do for those who trust you. For the sake of your name and for the world who so desperately needs to see your peace and experience, we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. And if you have just something you say, I came in with an anxious thought, a burden tonight. There's something weighing on me. Would you just bring it to him tonight? If it would help you to come to the front and just say, God, I'm going to kneel here before you. I want your peace to envelop me tonight. He wants to meet with you. He welcomes you. Let's sing of his goodness and trust him together.